Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
We're continuing in Colossians chapter 2. Next Sunday we will leave off from our study in Colossians and study about the birth of Christ next Sunday morning. But for today, we're continuing in Colossians chapter 2. We're in verses 8 through 15, where Paul is addressing two groups. Verses 8 through 10, he addressed what are called the Gnostics, the people with special knowledge, who do not believe in the completeness of Christ, that is, all of God is in Christ, and they do not believe in the completeness of the believer, that once you have Christ, you have all that God has to give. The second group, in verses 11 through 15, are the legalists, mainly made up of the Judaizers, the Jewish brethren who received Yahweh as Messiah, but they couldn't let go of the law. Even following Paul from city to city, telling the Gentiles that not only could they receive Jesus, Yeshua, as the Messiah, but they must also keep the Old Testament law. And with that, Paul presents to us three things in this section. Verses 11 and 12 we've been spending on the subject of salvation. In verse 13, the condition, our spiritual condition, and then verses 14 and 15, our provision that God has made for us. But we've been spending a lot of time in verses 11 and 12 as Paul uses terminology that is found in the law, but he's applying it spiritually. The Judaizers would go and say that all men must be circumcised in order to maintain your salvation in Christ. In verse 11, Paul talked about the circumcision that's not by hand, but the putting off of the body of sins of the flesh, the circumcision that is of Christ. That is the circumcision of the heart, the cutting away of the old life, the breaking from that old life. In verse 12, we saw that it is not called circumcision, it's called baptism, which is a big one in our day. Many groups promote the principle that you must be water baptized in order to be saved. You can't just receive Christ or believe in Christ, but you must be water baptized to be saved. But Jesus, as we pointed out to you in verse 12 from last week, that when Paul talks about being buried with him together in baptism, in which you were also raised through the faith of the energy of God, that he's talking about spiritual baptism, not physical baptism. Being baptized in water is a command for believers to do because it in and of itself is a testimony of the spiritual baptism that has taken place in the heart. Water baptism does not save anyone. It does not change anyone's relationship with God. It is a physical act. It's physical water. It produces nothing spiritual, but rather it is a testimony, a proclamation of one's faith in Jesus Christ, and that one has experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is what saves people. Again, baptism, the word itself, baptisma, has to do with two things. Number one, purification. And number two, identification. When we are spiritually baptized with the Spirit of God, when His Spirit comes into our spirit, we are purified, cleansed, and His presence in with Christ that we have studied numerous times. But it's the last part of verse 12 and verse 13 that I want to focus on this morning. Very important. In fact, at the end of verse 12, the wording of the verse is one of the most beautiful verses as far as language goes to express the very truths about faith that we have expressed and showed you from the Word of God over the years. So having been buried together with Him in baptism, in which also you were raised through the faith of the energy of God. So by the baptism of God's Spirit and through the faith of the energy of God, we were raised, we were buried with Him in spiritual baptism, we were raised up from the spiritual dead by what Paul says, the faith of the energy of God. And for those of you, even those of you that took the Greek class, and those of you that have not, the word of in the text denotes possession. It's called the genitive case. It is the faith of the energy, the faith that belongs to the energy of God. It is God's energy. It is His faith. And Paul uses the term to describe that it is the faith of the energy of God that raises believers up from the spiritual dead, having been baptized with Him together and buried with Him in this baptism. That is the baptism of His death. When I'm born of the Spirit of God, I am born into His death. But I'm also raised in and through His resurrection. Beautiful language. The faith of the energy of God. And as we've told you over the years, the term faith, the Greek word represented faith, pistis, actually means persuasion. Pathos is in Greek mythology the goddess of persuasion, because it comes from the term patho, which means persuasion. Pistis, the noun, actually comes from patho, that means persuasion. So whenever the word faith is found in the text, it's making reference not to a religious belief, but it's talking about a persuasion that is in a person's life. A few years ago, we did an in-depth study on the term faith in the Greek class that we held over at Grace Baptist on Tuesday nights. And that there are different kinds of faith. There is a faith of man that man produces, but that is a religious faith, and James chapter 2 calls it a dead faith. It's produced by people. It's people persuading themselves to believe things about the Lord. But the word itself, when it is attributed to God, in fact, the scriptures teach that faith is a fruit of God's Spirit. It is something that God produces, and it is something that God produces in the life of the believer. For instance, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, encourages us looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of the faith. He's the author of it. He brings faith to its completion in a believer's life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, it tells us that the Spirit of God produces faith and gives faith in the life of the believer. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it tells us that faith is a fruit of God's Spirit, not of man. But in James chapter 2, verses 17 to 26, James chapter 2, verses 17 to 26, James talks about faith, and he says, faith without works is dead. It's a dead faith if it doesn't have works. Now, religious people use James chapter 2, verses 17 to 26, even many Christians, people profess to be Christians, use James 2, beginning at verse 17, to talk about why they put forth human effort because they have to show by their faith that they have to do works because faith without works is dead. And that's taking it all backwards. The text doesn't say we work faith. It says faith does the works. Faith without works is dead. And the word works in James chapter 2 is the term for activity. Faith without activity is a dead faith. If we understand it in context to what the Bible teaches, that faith, persuasion, is a ministry of God, and that God's Spirit performs this persuasion and produces this faith and persuasion in the life of the believer, it is easy to see what James is talking about. He's saying if you just have a religious faith, it's dead. The only works that it has is you. But the faith that comes from God is an active faith, because look what our text says. It is the faith of the energy of God. The energy and power of God produces faith. And since it means persuasion, the word faith itself represents all of the presence and the activity of God's Spirit in a believer's life. Him being there is faith. His Spirit's active. Whenever He ministers to us, as we get in the Word every week and we study the Word together, it is His Spirit that is persuading us with the truth and the things of God. It is a persuasion that comes over us. In fact, the term believer in Scripture is the verb form of the noun for faith. So we're actually faithers. We're not believers. We're faithers. And what that means is that the Spirit of God came over me and persuaded me by way of conviction of my need of Christ. My response to His persuasion was to receive Christ and be born of the Spirit of God. But I was born of the energy of God, His Spirit coming into my life. Therefore, I am called a believer or a faither. Because from the very moment that God's Spirit came into my life, I am under His persuasion. I'm under His ministry. And as He leads and guides me, it's a persuasion. As He ministers to me, it's a persuasion. As He deals with me and corrects me and disciplines me, it's a persuasion. And it doesn't have to be just from the inside. If I don't respond to God's persuasion from His Word and obey His Word, He has other ways of persuading me. Just like with our children, if they don't obey, well, if you don't obey my word, there are other ways to persuade you. So this word pistis for faith and persuasion describes the presence and the activity of God's Spirit in the life of the believer. And notice what our text says. It is through the faith of the energy of God. Not just the energy of God, but the faith produced by God's energy, and it is the energy that is God's energy, not our own. So having been buried together with Him in baptism, in which also, that is this baptism, you were raised through the faith of the energy of God. That is the one who has raised Him, Christ, from out of the dead. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul mentions the fact that he's praying for believers, that believers would realize and understand the great power which God is empowering them with. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same resurrection power is the same energy that is energizing in the life of the believer every day, all day long. But it is spiritual. It is not human. Our human bodies change day by day. One day we have energy and the next minute we don't. One day we're not feeling well, and the next day we're feeling fine. The human changes all of the time. But the energy of God's Spirit never changes. That's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 to turn inward into the inner man where Christ dwells. He's consistent, constant, always the same. So our strength is to be the energy of God Himself. He doesn't energize our flesh, our human, but He Himself is the energy and the strength of our life. And so, having been buried together with Him in baptism, in which baptism also you were raised through the faith of the energy of God. What a great statement. Remember the words of show possession. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I really see that the newer translations that have come out that have taken all of the genitive clauses of showing possession, wherever it mentions faith, they've changed it to in. Faith in Christ, not the faith of Christ. And the reason why they did it, and they made up what is an English translation grammar rule, that it says the love of God and the faith of God. What can't mean it's His faith and His love. Because we have to produce the love and we have to produce the faith. And so they changed to the newer translations to wherever it says the love of God or the faith of God, it's faith in God. But that's what it means. Because the faith of God means that it's His faith. We can't have that. You know, we're works-oriented people. It's got to be our faith and our love, and we have to be the ones fulfilling God's promises. We can't put it all on his shoulders. But that's what the Bible teaches. In fact, in order to make it all say the same, they went back to Galatians 5:22, where it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, faith. They didn't know what to do with that one, so they changed faith to faithfulness or trustworthiness. But it's the word faith. It's always been faith. But they changed it so it wouldn't be faith. But that God's Spirit produces faithfulness and trustworthiness, but not faith, in order to make it say the same as all the other texts that have to do with faith. So I emphasize this to you this morning, that when the Lord saved us, he saved us through the coming of his Spirit into our spirits. When that happened, he cut us away from the old life, delivered us, that's what saved means, delivered us from the old life of sin in the flesh. We were baptized by his Spirit when his Spirit came into us to cleanse us and to purify us and to give us our identification in Christ. But also through the faith of the energy of God to raise us from out of the spiritual dead, the same one who raised Christ from the dead is the same one who raised us from the spiritual dead. Look at verse 13. And you being dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with Christ, having forgiven you all of your trespasses. The condition we were in before God saved us is that we were spiritually dead. The emphasis is we could not have produced faith, not spiritual faith. We could not have produced anything. It is through the faith of the energy of God that produces God's salvation and God's life in us. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, and you being, verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2, you being, existing, in a state of being dead in your trespasses and sins, he made alive. In verses 2 and 3, he describes the life that we lived under the influence of the prince and power of the air. But in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, but God being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ. Everything was with Christ and in Christ. Our spiritual condition, we were dead. We're dead spiritually. And the faith of the energy of God made us alive together with Christ. And these are all resurrection terms. He raised us up together and caused us to sit together with Christ in the heavenlies right now at the right hand of the throne of God. He did it. Nothing of us, because we were dead. And if we are alive today to the things of Christ, it's because it is through the faith of the energy of God that brought us from out of the spiritual dead and caused us to be united with Christ. And in fact, our spiritual position is to be in the right hand of the throne of God. It's all attributed to be of God. Any life, spiritual life that we have today in Christ, anything that we receive from the Lord, it's all because of Him. It's His faith. It's His energy. It's His activity that makes us alive to the things of Christ. In 2 weeks from now, we will continue and finish out the section of God's provision for us in verses 14 and 15. But this is one of those texts, if you're following along and doing studies on faith, as we go through and take the subject in the various texts that we study together, this is a beautiful phrase, the faith of the energy of God. Not just in Him, but of Him. He possesses it. It is His ministry and His life that enlightens us. And all the glory and praise will be to Him because we have done nothing. Our beginning existence was to be dead in trespasses and sins. But He made us alive. And what is working and active and alive in our lives is His persuasion, His ministry, His presence that moves us and ministers to us in the direction that God would have us to go. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for all that You are and all that You've done for us. As we continue to learn together, we continue to learn of the depths of the wealth and the mercy of God. We thank You for all that You are to us and all that You've done. And pray by Your Spirit You would help us to see that we are to seek You, not to come up with our own faith, nor our own energy to produce our walk with the Lord. But rather it is Your energy living in us, persuading us and ministering to us of the things of Christ. Help us to be still and to know that You are God. By Your Spirit, we pray that You would make us sensitive to Your direction and Your ways, even if it means to be still. We know that Your persuasion will be there to lead and guide. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.